In this episode of Upward Calling, we talk about being an outsider in the church. Welcome to Upward Calling. We help Christians develop a relationship with God by talking with University Church of Christ evangelist Josh Creel and Dr. Kenny Embry. Listen as we take a deeper dive on a lesson from a recent Sunday service and help you apply it Monday through Saturday. How you doing, Josh?
Well, Kenny, you know me and the weather, and when it gets cold, I'm actually doing okay. I actually went out and rode my bike this morning. It was a very brisk ride, shall we say. But I mean, it's beautiful outside. It's just a little cold. But those who, you know, if my mother listens to this, and I think she said the high there was 8 degrees yesterday, we're not going to get a whole lot of sympathy from a lot of people.
None. We're going to get none. The thing about it is, this morning we were getting ready for school. My wife teaches kindergarten. I'm a college professor. It was 41 degrees out there, and my wife was like, "It is so cold." Yes, Arctic. And for those of you who are outside of the Tampa or Florida area, yes, we really are that thin blooded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my parents live up in Bowling Green. They were telling me that it was hovering right around 4. And I was just sitting here thinking, wow, we really do have it good.
But you know what they say, you know, it's the Florida cold, because of the humidity, is actually a worse cold. That's I don't believe that whatsoever.
We're soft. let's just admit it. We're soft, and that's fine. That's absolutely why we live in Florida. Okay. Speaking of this, the sermon that you talked about this time, you were talking about really insiders and outsiders of the body of Christ. What do you mean that some are outsiders? I mean, what really separates us from being insiders and outsiders?
Yeah, so to define it again, we're not talking about those who are inside or outside of the body of Christ. What we were looking at was within the body, and this is true, I think you'll find it of really any group of any size. You're going to have those who are viewed anyway as being core, essential members who are connected. And then you've got members who are, you know, less connected, you know, mm-hmm. maybe more on the periphery. And so we were using that inside-outside dichotomy. Well, so we need to look at that in two ways. What we try to do is we always try to go back to scripture, and what Paul was dealing with in Corinth was very much an insider-outside mentality, and specifically between rich and poor.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that Paul is trying to stress to them is this doesn't exist in the eyes of Christ. He says, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So in the eyes of Christ, there is no such thing as inside or outside, core, periphery, connected, unconnected. Mm-hmm. They are part of Him.
Right.
The issue becomes, again, from our standpoint, our viewpoint, what do we, when we think of the church and when we think of the people that we have association with, it's very easy to be cliquish. It's very easy to have a friend and peer group, and that people who are new, people who have differences in their background. One sister who was visiting from North Alabama this past Sunday even told me that she is a widow. And I mean, this makes perfect sense. I didn't even consider it for the lesson on Sunday, but that puts you in some ways on the outside, because right now, if you've got couples who are getting together, well, you as a widow, and particularly a young widow, well, now you find yourself on the outside or on the periphery. So what separates us is any number of socioeconomic, demographic factors that make it easier to fall into the cliques, make it easier to ignore members in the congregation who may be somewhat different than you.
Right. I was 37 years old when I got married. And one of the things, I spent a lot of my time as a single Christian. And I think one of the things that is an unintended consequence of what goes on in a morning worship, it is often geared toward families, because that's the majority of the people that are in the building. It's families. And here I was, the single guy, and we have plenty of singles in our congregation, but I recognize the struggle that they have, which is unusual in our congregation, because the majority of people that are there have a spouse, have a significant other, have somebody when they have to go up and lead a prayer, there's a significant other that's saving their seat for them. And I remember many times having to lead the prayer and then look for a seat because there was no one saving one for me. You see what I'm saying there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. This idea that we are different from one another in really all kinds of ways, and you listed many of them, which is some people are just good at stuff and they're better up than we are at leading singing or whatever, or they have more money, or they're just more influential around town. Or they're just really smart, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is inescapable. The fact of the matter is we are a bunch of different people and we differ in the way we differ. When is this a strength and when is this a problem?
I think it's, I don't know that you say when for either, because I think they can both be true in exactly the same time. So again, yeah. If you look at it from the spiritual context and the way in which Christ views the body, this is always a strength. I'll go back to, again, what was the text from Sunday and 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. I don't fully comprehend that. You know, I don't know exactly what God sees when he sees the body. And I understand that, you know, probably Paul is talking about the universal aspect of the church, but he's making application to a group of saints that were in Corinth. So the reality is, from God's reality, which is the one that counts,
right?
Every person with whatever talent, whatever ability they have, they make the body better. Mm-hmm. When it's a problem is when you have what's going on in Corinth, when some members are valued more than others, whether it be because of, you know, their connectedness in the group, whether it be because of, you know, you're probably looking at the poster child for this. You know, I'm the one who's up there for 30 minutes every Sunday. I'm quote unquote essential. You know, if I were to leave, oh no, we'd have to find another preacher. Like we couldn't, you know, they're falling from the trees here. But you know, that's not this necessarily the same when another member leaves. So it's because of how we view what's really important and who really makes the congregation go. And what God's saying is, again, these members that are somewhat humble, that don't receive a lot of attention, that, you know, don't receive honor, God says, I'm putting honor on them. I see their contribution. And it may be the widow who is ministering to others. Right. It may be the single guy who's not married yet, but yet, so he becomes has the opportunity when there are other singles who come into the congregation to kind of help them out. You know, we have another member here, you know, J.D. Olenek, who, before he and Tara got married, that was something he truly specialized in. He just, when there were young guys, particularly young guys, he would just make sure that, you know, they were getting connected and helping them make an entry point into the congregation. So again, that's not something that's, you know, just visible that receives a lot of attention,
right?
But it sure is important for the people that it touches. And that's what God's seeing.
Right. Yeah. You're talking there about how easy it is for people to get disconnected from to being the outsider. You have a family of four or five come in, and the needs that they have are fairly obvious. They have young children. We want to get them into a Bible class, and lo and behold, we're going to have a Bible class for their kids. But we also know that there's a relationship there in their marriage that needs to be nurtured. So we're going to make sure that we talk about marriage in some Bible class that we have for them. And we're also going to make sure that we talk about being a father and a mother. And we're also going to make sure that, that the wife gets connected in with the other wives. But because those needs are so obvious, we often go toward those needs because they have so many. And then you have those people whose needs aren't nearly as obvious because they're single and they don't have children and they don't have... And what are their needs? Because it's not obvious what the... Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see the direction I'm going with that?
I do, absolutely. And yeah. Again, that's... It's really our perception that God is saying, we've got to change. And not look at the church like maybe you would, you know, any other organization. You know, you look at the government, well... You know, the president becomes the focal point. The elected representatives become the focal point. You look at a business and the CEO and the CFO, they become the focal point.
Right.
Well, even in those organizations, though, what is actually getting the work done? It's not the person necessarily who's the focal point.
That's right. Yeah.
So I mean, don't take that kind of thinking into the church then and just think, well, because we've got a preacher and because we've got, you know, elders and because we've got, you know, these families that they, you know, seemed really well adjusted and they do a lot. And yes, you know, I thank God for all these things. These are blessings.
Right.
But don't discredit, do a disservice to those who don't share in all of those traits. And yet they are so vital really to the congregation.
The word that you said, and we've said it a few times here, is perception. And I think that's the biggest part of this. I mean, the fact of the matter is we don't really think about the cleanliness in the building unless it's uncleanly. If there's trash just strewn all over the pews, well, suddenly we're interested in how clean the building is, but not until then. So really when it comes to that idea of perception, how should the perception of important differences change what we do? I mean, the fact of the matter is, so often it's like the iceberg. The biggest part of it is hidden until we can't ignore it anymore, and suddenly our perception is changed. But the fact of the matter is, we should have been doing something all along that kept the part that was underneath, not necessarily underneath, but recognize that there's a big part of that we're missing. You see what I'm saying?
I do. And so getting, again, once more to our text here, That's what God is saying. So he says in verse 21 of the same chapter, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. So if we're looking at what do we do with that, then one, I think we ought to look at, okay, what are the things that we're thankful for? You know, we ought to be thanking God for these members who are receiving less honor, and yet they're honored in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. We ought to look at ways in which we can then, you know, show that honor ourselves. I am very thankful, and I've received, you know, more than my share of little notes and little, you know, kindnesses and saying thank you for the job you're doing. Well, and again, I thank you. Thank the greeter, you know, who's the first person that a new visitor sees. Thank the people on the back row that when someone comes in, they're making room and they're, you know, chatting people up. You know, thank the people that are bringing, you know, the single moms who are bringing their kids and, you know, are doing so without support from home. You know, there's just all kinds of people to thank and show them the honor that God says they deserve.
Right. It was something that you said in the lesson, and the passage that you reference where he talks about different body parts and it makes the metaphor of the body there. One of the things that we recognize though is that even in the body that we have, there's certain organs we can live without. And the fact of the matter is there are plenty of families who have come to university and left university. And frankly, some of those families, we don't even know when they're gone. It's just, you know, they left already? Really? Oh, they left a year ago. Oh, wow. And so much of it is sometimes we think I'm really important. They wouldn't last without me. And yet we have and we do. But let me ask it this way. How are we both essential to the body, but also kind of expendable to the body too?
That's a good question. I think you have to look at, you know, different categories of people. You know, we're all part of Christ's body. You know, we're talking about saints at a particular congregation, and we have had, you know, members who, because they felt that, you know, their talents might be utilized better in another group, you know, mm-hmm. So not that they could not have offered tremendous service here and that they didn't offer tremendous service here. They just, you know, they thought, well, there's a group over here. Maybe it's a little bit smaller. Maybe they need a little more help. We're going to go over here and we're going to support them. So from that standpoint, the body of Christ is still receiving, you know, the labor and the talents and the benefit from what every single member is doing. What, and kind of how I ended the lesson, you know, what troubles me and what I hate the most is the people that leave, and you knew it was coming. Like I said, they started showing up at the last second. They didn't talk to anybody. They left. And then maybe you didn't see them for a couple weeks and they might come back. And then, you know, they're not there again. And so on the surface, you might say, well, what were they really contributing to the body? You know, what were they contributing to the group? You know, how is it that you're going to miss them? And again, you know, I'm not excusing, you know, a choice that they made. But I think you have to recognize is we are diminished. We're diminished when those abilities aren't utilized. You know, let's take for an example here, and I won't give any specific names, but let's take, for instance, one of our Spanish-speaking sisters, mm-hmm. okay? So here would be one of our sisters who, you know, is not going to lead in public worship, and maybe even because of language barrier, may not even for the foreseeable be helping even in a kids class. Okay. So that public aspect of the work and what they contribute is not there. Well, what would we lose if any one of our Spanish sisters left? Well, I'd say we'd lose a couple of things. One, there is the visible manifestation that Christ died for all people. And you mm-hmm. know what? I need that. The congregation needs that. When we look out at university, and we've got some diversity, I won't say that we are as diverse as we can be or should be, but there's some diversity there, and I thank God for it, that mm-hmm. this is a living representation of the fact that Christ died for all people.
Right.
So if you have, again, so if one of our Spanish sisters were to leave us, well, we're going to miss that. If she left the faith, then what impact was she having on her children, future grandchildren,
right,
community? You know, that's not seen publicly. That's not heralded necessarily from the pulpit.
Right.
But now that's gone. Mm-hmm. What's missing when another person from the community enters our door? And maybe is a primarily a Spanish speaker. And now there's one less person who they can truly identify with. So all that. So again, from a public standpoint, this hypothetical sister, if you will, she's not contributing a lot from the very visible, tangible, what we see going on in the church. But if she's gone, we are diminished. Mm-hmm. And we've got to start seeing that the value. I get an attendance figure every Sunday, and it's nice to see that more people are coming to church. That's right. Not the goal. Every one of those souls represents ability that can and should be utilized in the body of Christ.
I agree. I understand what you're talking about with that insider-outsider mentality. And I think one of the applications you bring up makes all the sense in the world, which is something that's going to help that is both cultivating a sense of expressing gratitude and cultivating a sense in receiving gratitude, because I think both of those are really important. It's important to tell people that they matter, and it's important to understand that it's important for other people to tell you that you matter, because I think we can do disservice on both sides of that. Thanks for your compliment, but I'm just going to let it roll off my back. No, that took some effort for them to do, and it meant something. So don't pretend like it doesn't, because it does mean something. And we live in a society that, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, we have overemphasized the importance of expressing gratitude and underemphasized the importance of accepting gratitude, because I think it's important that we learn how to accept it just as well. That said, when you think about what it means to be an insider and an outsider, what do we change? How do we take this lesson and put verbs and sentences for this week?
Yeah. So for this week, again, let's look at again classifications. How do you view yourself? Well, maybe you do think you're, you know, and I don't mean this in a prideful way, but you see yourself, okay, you've got connections, you've got friends, you know, you think you're valued in the church.
Yeah.
Well, what you do tangibly is you try to make a connection this week with maybe someone who doesn't feel that way. You know, you and I have talked about what happens in the pew following worship. And one of the challenges that I gave on Sunday was, you know, make it difficult for me to know where you are. Because I typically know where people will be following services. And I know typically who they're going to be talking to.
Right.
Well, try to change that up. You know, and not that the fellowship is just going to be at the building, but that's where it starts. Get to know somebody a little bit in the pew. Get to know somebody a little bit on the other side of the church building if you can. And then, you know, just try to help people understand that they're valued. If you think of yourself as an outsider, and that may very well be the case, the challenge to you is remember how God views you and that God says you are essential. What you bring to the body is essential. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, if you feel disconnected, well, help somebody else who may be feeling disconnected too. You know, help someone who's even newer than you are and bring them in and give them a connection. Because I don't want anybody to be disconnected, and I hate that there are those who may feel that way. Mm-hmm. And they may very well have very good reasons that they feel that way. Maybe they have been ignored. They've not been appreciated. But you've got value. God sees that, and I hope we're all seeing that better. And so I'm just asking you do what you can to make sure somebody else doesn't feel that. You serve them, and that's you utilizing the talents that God's given you.
Right. Let me just add a couple of more, because I think you've got exactly the right idea. But I think one of the things that you need to do is avail yourself of all the ways that we can communicate with one another. If you are not somebody who does well with small talk, I get the nightmare that is the after the services, which is basically a bunch of small talk. But by all means, if you know that somebody's lost a parent or somebody's lost, send them a card, text them, use all the different forms of communication that we have at our disposal that are essentially free. That basically let somebody else know that you're thinking about them. If you can, if you have the ability, and not everybody does, you can make a meal, make a meal. If you can, I don't know, just listen to them for a while, not at the building, do that. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of pressure that's often placed on what happens during services and after services, but these people still have the same problems outside of the building and at home. And there's so much that you can do that is quite frankly so trivial to you and so important to other people that you can make a big difference by not doing very much. Did you see what I'm saying there?
Absolutely. Amen.
Okay. Okay. So what are you going to be talking about next time, Josh?
I'm not. I've actually got a few weeks here where I'm not. So this coming Sunday is the elders will be speaking to the congregation and talking about some plans and some really good things that have happened within the group, and just kind of, you know, setting our sights on how we can serve in this new year. The Sunday following that, we'll have had our teen weekend with Brothers Keith Stonehart. I know he's a friend of yours. And so he's mm-hmm. going to be here speaking for our teens and speaking for the congregation that Sunday morning. Yeah. And then the following Sunday happens to be the weekend where we've got a lot of people coming in from out of town, from all over the place for the lectures that Florida College puts on. Yeah, for the Super Bowl. That's not in Tampa this year, is it?
No.
Okay, thank you. Oof. But anyway, another one of your friends and the father of one of our members, Coco father, Mark, is going to be speaking for us that Sunday. So the dulcet tones that you were used to on Sunday mornings just had to get by without it.
Well, I'll tell you, Stonehart and Mark are both just excellent guys. I'll vouch for them all day long. Mark has been a friend of mine for far too long. He's just a good guy. And Stonehart is somebody who's, if you've ever heard Keith's story, it's amazing. It's just amazing. So anyway, I'll leave it there. So that
well,
said,
maybe to that well, point, maybe what we can do in this space is maybe we can talk to Keith and then get that story on here and share with the group. Because I don't know if he'll be necessarily presenting that in the sermon that morning, but it'd be worthwhile for everybody to hear.
Yes, I'd be happy to have Keith, and I know he'd do it. I'll go ahead and speak for him. The other thing is, it seems about this time last year, it was either Tommy that we had on, or was it Steve that talked about the plans of the elders.
I think you've had them both on, so yeah. So maybe we'll get one of the new guys this time.
Maybe so. Okay. Well, I look forward to having those conversations then.
Sounds good, brother.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get to know us more, you're welcome to watch a live stream service or join us in person at the University Church of Christ in Tampa, Florida. The sermon we reference in this episode is in the show notes. We have all of our information at universitychurchofchrist.org. Until next time, God bless you in your walk with God.